Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Notice that statement again. A time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Notice that statement. Written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Notice that statement. Seal the book. Even to the time of the end. There's that statement again. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, keep your Bibles open. Look at me. I love Daniel chapter 12. I wrote this in my notes. Daniel chapter 12 is kind of like the cherry on top of the ice cream. Matter of fact, it's the whole jar of cherries. Amen, Ruth Ann. She and I like those Marcino or how you ever say it. I grew up in Italian world. It's just Marcino. All right. You can call it whatever you want, but it seems like Daniel chapter 12 is to Daniel what the book of Revelation is to the entire Bible. And that's where we're at tonight. The people are tired. They're oppressed. They're beat up. By the way, due to their own disobedience. And they're facing a 70-year beating, but they needed a little bit of hope. This whole chapter is about an event, or it starts with an event and what there is thereafter. It starts with the event called the rapture, and it talks about the tribulation in the end times. Now, we're going to go into this, but I need you to listen to the next 3 or 4 minutes, or you're going to get lost, and it could change your view of everything, of how you approach the Bible. After the rapture takes place, that is the time that the Jews will awaken out of their stupor. They're going to catch on to the truth about Jesus being the Messiah. The Jewish religion is still set on the fact that Jesus was not the Messiah. They looked for him to come to set up his kingdom. When he came in Bethlehem's manger and did not set up his kingdom, they rejected him. He was rejected of men because he said, I didn't come to be king, I came to be the Lamb. And they said, well, then you're not the one that we look for. Now, all that to say this, they deny Jesus as Messiah because they only looked for him to set up the earthly kingdom. They refuse him as Savior because they want him to be king. Now, it will not be until the rapture that the Jews awaken out of this spiritually. This is the statement I want you to get, the next two statements. The modern day Jewish religion is the very same as the Jewish religion that hated Jesus, captured him, and crucified him. Studying Judaism is in no way going to help you be a better Christian or understand the Bible. They're against Jesus. The modern day Judaists are like the ones that were alive, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the high priests who killed Jesus. It wasn't their doctrines and things that were important. It was Jesus' doctrine that's important. So studying Jewish and Hebrew customs and all those things, I'm not saying it's sinful, but those are the people that killed Jesus. They don't accept him as the Messiah. Why would we want to do it? I'm not being critical, but may I say this, we're not going to have Jewish holidays and study them during our holidays to try to mesh the two, because guess what? They don't mesh. That would be kind of like saying that you're going to be a Catholic Baptist or a white black person, or you're going to be a Spanish African. It doesn't work. Those things don't go together at all. And that's exactly why I don't put a, you don't hear me preach a lot about Hebrew or Jewish customs. You have to, you say, well, what about the Old Testament, preacher? Yeah, I promise you this. We have two or three folks in our church that came from the Jewish religion, and they've told me, I have taught them more about being a Jew than they learned in the Jewish synagogues. Because I'm teaching truth from the Word of God, how that those things were a picture of Jesus as the Savior and the coming Savior. By the way, when he came, he started the church, not the temple. So why do we want to study things that have no bearing on what is today? Everybody doing okay with that? All right, now, we don't need the customs of the day to understand the truth. Matter of fact, my God said, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His word did not change. Now, let me just say right here, thank God, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
He's coming back for the saved people. Now, you'll hear preachers, you may hear some here. You may even hear me say it from time to time. I try not to. It's not necessarily a wrong thing to say, but they'll say Jesus is coming back for the church. No, he's coming back for the saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to be saved. And all those who are saved will go up in the rapture. Some will say, well, he's coming back to get his bride. We don't become the bride till we get to heaven. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, that's just a matter. No. Before I got married, June 23rd, 1989, that was the day before my wedding. She wasn't my bride. There were still things we weren't to be doing. Until we said, I do, and she said, I did what? Till that time, we weren't husband and wife. She was not my bride. And last night, Dr. Harding wanted a picture with me, and he said, is this your bride? I said, it is. And I love that statement. And he's several years older than I am, and it made me feel good. Amen. I knew better Monday night. I almost got up and said I was the youngest man preaching in the conference, but there were two men coming after me that had the microphone that I was not going to get again, and I had better sense than saying that. Amen? You don't do that. Now, may I say this? Jesus is coming again. He's coming back, and I'm going to make this statement again later, but this is just as sure a prediction as Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger. If God kept his word for over 4,000 years that Jesus would be born and be born in Bethlehem's manger, don't you think he'll keep his word about him coming back at the rapture?
Yes, sir.
Why would he say it and not fulfill it? The only difference is we knew somewhat the timing of his birth, as we saw in the book of Daniel. He said we'll not know the timing of his second return. That's when, by the way, it's the only one that is not predicted. Because we know 7 years after he comes back at the rapture, he comes back and whoops up on the forces of evil here on the earth. We get to watch and have a party and come back and rule and reign with him 1,000 years. Now, This is, by the way, we knew roughly when he would be born. That's why the wise men of the East were looking for it. As we saw the predictions in the book of Daniel, they had studied what Daniel had said, and they kept looking for his star. I preached a sermon on that years ago at Christmas time. I think I called it the Christmas star or something like that. I couldn't tell you what the title is right now, but it was something that was an actual event astrologically that they knew was coming, and there was an alignment there that they were looking for to know that that would be the time of his birth. Now, let's see what God reveals here to Daniel in chapter 12 about the rapture. Look at verse number 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Now notice something, that time of trouble. Remember last week in chapter 11, we talked about that being the great tribulation. A time of trouble. And it says, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that be found written in the book. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall what? Awake. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. Now, we're going to stop there. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go to the New Testament. It's right after 1 and 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, right before 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to throw a 3x5 card there because I'm coming back to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want you to start with me in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Often, at a graveside, at a funeral, I'll use these verses. Dr. Curtis Hudson, years and years and years and years ago, good night, more than 2.5 decades ago, before he died, I remember just weeks before he died, he said, my wife and I went to the cemetery the other day. He said, I bought a piece of resurrection ground. He said, they call it a cemetery, he said, but I'm just renting it because I'm not staying there forever. He said, one of these days I'm going to pop out of it. He said, it's resurrection ground. And I never forgot that, how sweet that is. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and keep your finger in Daniel chapter 12. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what?
Sleep.
Do you remember the verse where it talked about them that sleep in the dust? That you sorrow not even as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which, what? Sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of what? Now, wait a minute. Go back to Daniel chapter 12. Keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians 4. First line of chapter 12. And at that time shall who? Michael. Who are the archangels? Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer's fallen. That's Satan. And the voice of the archangel. Hello. That's Michael. Predicted in Daniel chapter 12. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That is talking about the event of the rapture. Do you see how Daniel chapter 12 verses 1 through 3, or actually 1 through 4, go together hand in hand with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read 5 or 6 verses here very quickly, and then I'm going to teach for just a second here. Watch this. Everybody look at me for just a second. These are God's words, not my words. I'm not telling you what I say. I'm telling you what we're reading, what God says. Look at verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 4. After this, after what? He talks about the 7 churches. I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a what? Trumpet talking with me, which said what? Come up hither. Now look at me. Sound like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? The trump of God and the archangel. What did it say? Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, and he shall deliver them. And he talks about coming to get them and tells them to come to them. Watch this. Saying, talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And how fast? Immediately. Oh. Sound like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Immediately. I was in the spirit. Didn't say anything about the body. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in what color? White raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded what? Lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And it talks about the things that are going to go on in heaven. Now, keep your finger in Revelation 4. We're going to come back in just a moment here. This time of trouble is talking about the Great Tribulation, the 7-year period after the rapture takes place. Please listen to me. I rarely teach what wrong is, but there's a couple wrong philosophies out there. Some people say there will be no rapture. They have to deny all of Scripture to do so. Some say that the rapture doesn't take place till halfway through the tribulation. Well, that takes away from the ability to say that no man knoweth the hour nor the day when the Son of Man cometh. Some say it happens at the end, which is, how could that be when Jesus comes back with all of us on white horses? It doesn't make sense. We get raptured up and come right back. And God talks about all these things happening after. If you look in Revelation chapter 4, it said, and after this I saw the things which would come hereafter. Now, this time of tribulation, notice in Daniel chapter 12, it says there would be such a bad time, such as never was since was a nation, even to that time. In other words, there's never been a time on the face of the earth where it will have been as bad as that time. You think it's bad now? Aren't you glad if you're saved, you're going up? Now, I want you to notice something. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4. I'm about to shout. I had so much fun doing this. I hope you find this as exciting as I do. You probably don't, but all right. Look at verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the what? Time of the end. Now watch this. God says to Daniel, I want you to write this. And I want you to seal it up in the book, and it won't be revealed until the time of the end. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'm about to shout. If you saw me preach Monday night, you know what I'm talking about too. And I got done preaching. I got to sit down beside my family, and Hunter was by me, and he put his hand in between my coat and my shirt. And I was wet from skin out. I mean, from head to toe. He looked at me and said, "Preacher, you're hot." No, I'm smoking hot, let me tell you. Whew, it was bad. Daniel was told to seal these words up in a book, correct? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Notice chapter 4, we had the rapture, correct? And we're all in heaven. Look at chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Now, who's sitting on the throne? God. "A book written within, on the backside, sealed with seven seals." What did God tell Daniel to do with the words that were written? He said, "Put them in a book and seal it." "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. When one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David,'" notice those are all capitalized, "'hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a" what? "Lamb." Who is that lamb? Jesus Christ. "As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.'" Hey, may I say something? Jesus is the only one that can open that book. You see the prophecy fulfilled of Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4, in Revelation chapter 5. That's after the rapture. And I'm not going to go into all those things. By the way, that is what opens up the fury of the tribulation and other things that we'll get into just briefly here in just a little while. But I want you to notice something. Jesus is the only one that can open up that sealed book. No man can do it. Bible says no man that was in heaven, no man on the earth, and no man under the earth. That's talking about hell. Ooh, there is only one worthy to open the book, the one who paid for it by his own blood. The Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, and all the names that were given therein. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you my opinion. You can agree, disagree, doesn't matter. We're not going to fuss over it, but I'm going to tell you something that I think it says. And you can decide for yourself. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." They that be wise. Who are the wise people? People who have gotten saved. "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." When we get saved and we go to heaven in the rapture, or if we die, when we get our glorified bodies, the Bible says that our countenance, our clothing will shine like the stars forever. Stars have different brightnesses, correct? I wonder if our righteousness on earth determines how brightly we shine in heaven. I tend to think that those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. The more we get the gospel out and the more we help people and the more we live righteously, the brighter we'll shine in heaven. Hey, I'd rather be a dimwit in heaven than a bright bulb in hell. Let's face it, I don't mind being a nightlight in heaven because at least I'm there, amen? But I don't know about you, I don't want to be dull white. I'd like to be bright white. Now, you don't have to agree with that, but you're going to have to cipher that verse yourself. That's what I see it saying. Now, how bright will you shine? That's the question. How you live your Christian life will determine how brightly you shine in heaven. Again, I'm not going to fight with you over it. You say, preacher, I disagree with you. I say, good, that's fine. Because I won't fuss with you over it. It's not a doctrine. But you're going to have a hard time explaining that any other way. Because I've looked at it. Number two, I got to hurry here. So we start with the rapture. Then Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, goes through the rest of the tribulation. And it shows us the breakdown of the great tribulation. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. We're not going to get into the tribulation and all the spookiness and the seven seals and the seven vials and the seven trumpets and the four horsemen and the seven horses. And we're not going to get into all those different things. You say, why? Doesn't matter, we're in heaven. Those are things going on the earth while we're in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, we're in heaven. And all the events, chapter 4, chapter 5, take place while we're in heaven. Everything else from chapter 6 through chapter 19 take place here on earth. And it's not very good. Then in chapter 20, we come back for the millennial reign, the destruction of Babylon, and we rule and reign with Jesus, and then God destroys the whole earth and the heavens and starts it all over, and we live forever in the new heaven. And there ain't no more history, amen? There's just future ahead. Now, not good grammar, but good preaching. The tribulation, the great tribulation, the time of trouble, whatever you want to call it, it is a seven-year period that is divided into two sections. Two three-and-a-half-year sections. Soon as the rapture takes place, immediately Antichrist will come on the scene. There will be global collapse. They will have to start a brand new global economy and a one-world government. This is all predicted in Scripture, and we don't have time to go into all this. Just trust me for the moment. The Antichrist will set up and he will say, I have the answers. And that first 3.5 year period will be very peaceful. It'll be a time where people are getting along and able to survive. This is where the mark of the beast comes. And they'll have to take the mark in the back of the hand or in the forehead. There'll be no buying or selling without that mark, probably due to a vaccination. Or whatever. And there's all kinds of those things. And again, there's so much speculation. It doesn't pay any of us any due to worry about it. But I can tell you this, you can't start a global economy till the whole world bankrupts. No need for a global economy till the world bankrupts. And we are on the verge of global bankruptcy. Just so you know. You hear the term globalism. We're getting set up for it. It's a coming. Now, by the way, you don't have to worry about it. We're gone. You don't have to worry about seeing it. We're out of here. But there'll be two divisions. The first 3.5 years will be a time of peace. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse number 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people All these things shall be finished. Now look at me. That the wording in here is very interesting. For a time, times, and a half. Now, time means 1 year. Times is plural. How many years is that? Two. So one plus two is, and then it says, and a half. So how many years is that? 3.5 years. And God will allow during those first 3.5 years, there'll be a great revival take place led by the Jews across the world. That is when Enoch and Elijah come back and preach revival, the two witnesses, and the Jews, 144,000 of them, get saved initially, and they go all over the world trying to win people to Christ during this 3.5 years. And at the end of that, many of them are killed at the end of that, during that time, and it's a bad time. They end up killing Elijah and Enoch, and they lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights, and then God gives them a personal rapture in front of the world on television and Facebook. And everybody goes, uh-oh. After the first 3.5 years, peace is ended, and then it's going to get ugly. Now, the second 3.5 years, look at verse number 8 in Daniel chapter 12. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand, talking about those getting saved. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, in other words, when all the soul winning's done, when all the Jews and the Christians who have been saved during the beginning of the tribulation have been killed, that need to be killed, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Anybody want to take a guess how long 1,290 days is? 3.5 years. There's your 7 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till be the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot to the end of days. He said, don't worry, Daniel. You're going to heaven and you can rest it out till the end, and then you're coming back with me to rule and reign. Now, the events of Revelations chapter 6 through 8, or 6 through 18, 6 through 19, happen on the earth. That's where all the judgments, the horsemen and the beasts and the creeping things that crawl out of hell with a head like a man, a body like a lion, hair like a woman, a tail like a scorpion, and all those crazy things happening. That's all happening here on the earth while we're in heaven at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Glory to God, we're going to eat. I'm not going into an in-depth study. By the way, does it really matter what all those things mean? We're not going to be affected by it. Too many people spend time on stuff that doesn't matter. The rapture is clearly taught. Turn to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to finish. We have 6 minutes, and I'll finish in about 2. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Remember, Jesus' last words are Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. He's been crucified, he's been buried, he resurrected, he came back on the earth for 40 days. The end of that 40 days is Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Watch this. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, not one like him, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. That's talking about the rapture. Notice something. He went quickly. He was received in a cloud. They said he'll come back in like manner. All of a sudden, he's going to appear in a cloud. Sound like the rapture? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be in the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. He was taken suddenly. He'll come back suddenly. God gave us Daniel chapter 12 almost 2,500 years ago. Do you realize it was 4,000 years from Genesis chapter 3 to the birth of Christ? Almost 1,500 years longer that the prophecy of Jesus coming to Bethlehem's manger was given. I think if God could keep his promise of Bethlehem for about 4,000 years, don't you think he could keep the promise of the rapture for 2,000? Here's my question. Are you ready? How brightly do you want to shine? Because how we live will determine how bright we are. Let me give you a little food for thought. How about we live each day as though it's our last? How about we live as though today could be the day he comes back? I'll be honest with you, I'd rather go by the Undertaker than the Undertaker any day. But we have no guarantee. So I must live each day as though it could happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The rapture is clearly taught throughout the scripture. I could spend another hour going through verses with you, I promise. We have not exhausted the topic at all. But I wanted to give you a good overview of Daniel chapter 12.